Hi, thanks, Z. My name is Connor. Today I'm going to be telling you about an operator algebraic formulation of self-testing. So this is me here. This is joint work with my supervisor, William Slofstra, his student, PhD student, Yuming Zhao, and undergraduate researcher, Yangchen Zhu. So I'm going to do a bit of an overview of what I'm going to talk about today. So this is self-testing has to do with quantum correlations and quantum models. So I'll give a brief introduction of what those concepts are, and then we'll talk about the standard definition of self-testing, which is you may or may not be familiar with. And then I want to talk about how we can, maybe move beyond this definition and talk about the language of C-star algebras and how we can formulate models and correlations in the language of C-star algebras. And this is going to motivate our new definition of self-testing, which is according to abstract states. And after I've talked about this new operator algebraic formulation of self-testing, I'll talk about results and further questions that this new way of looking at self-testing kind of opens up, and how it relates to the previous definition, standard definition. And then if I have time, I'd like to tell you a bit about how self-testing works for the sets of tensor product correlations and commuting operator correlations, which are generalizations of the set of quantum correlations. So the context for self-testing is comes from the world of Bell scenarios and quantum correlations. So here, the setting is that two spatially separated parties, Alice and Bob, are given inputs that we think of as measurement settings, and these are kind of drawn from random finite sets, or not random finite sets, but they're randomly drawn from finite sets. And each of these parties, they make some measurement and they return their outcomes. And so in this mathematically, the measurement operators are modeled by these measurement operators, and they act on local Hilbert spaces, which are assigned to each lab. So quantum mechanics tells us that if the joint system is in the pure state psi on the tensor product of these two systems, importantly, this can be entangled. So we know that we can see correlations here that are non-classical. I don't need to explain that more here, but basically this gives us a formulation for these probabilities. So a correlation is just a collection of all of these probabilities. So think of it just as a big array of all these probabilities, where this is just some normalization thing saying that, okay, they have to be probabilities, if we think of it as kind of an abstract function or something. So a correlation or a behavior. And we refer to the collection of Hilbert, the local Hilbert spaces, the measurement operators, and the state psi of the joint system as a, all right, so here I'm going to say the collection is, in this case, I'm going to restrict to finite dimensional Hilbert spaces. And these measurement operators are specifically POVM measurements. So they're positive operators, and they sum to the identity on the local Hilbert spaces. And this last thing, yeah, of course, is just a state vector. And the point is that this, as I showed in the last slide, that this collection of things kind of generates these correlations. So we say that, that this collection S is a quantum model for the correlation P. And we all know that, well, we don't all know, but sorry, we say that a correlation is a quantum correlation if it has a quantum model. So the set of quantum correlations is a convex set of this kind of positive orthon of this big, real space. Interestingly, the sets are not closed in general. This was a result of Slofstra from a couple of years ago. Showed that there's a correlation in its closure that's kind of not in the set. But we do denote its closure by this kind of QA. So sometimes it's called the quantum approximal correlations. These will maybe come back later. We'll see more of this. But for now, we're just going to focus on these quantum correlations. So specifically, the models are those where the Hilbert spaces are finite dimensional. So we can just think of these measurement operators as matrices. Importantly, in a Bell scenario, an observer can sit there and they can observe a quantum correlation, but they can't observe the model. So if there's kind of some closed or there's some quantum system, some quantum device that you want to check if it's actually using entanglement or something, if you treat it as a black box, you don't know what Hilbert spaces or measurement operators or states it's doing. All you can see is the correlations.
So and yeah, quantum model, a classical device would be a subset of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think generally it would be where you'd have like mixtures of separable states.
Do you mean that this CQ is not general, not in general closed, even if in a finite case?
Yeah. What do you mean the finite case? Yeah, it's not closed. Yeah.
But I think to define a quantum correlation, you just need to specify the state of the PWM. They are all compact. So the image of the compact set will also be compact, so it's also always closed.
Sorry, why is it compact?
Like the set of state and set of PWM, are they compact? Space?
I guess the point is like there are there's a sequence of correlations, and that limit point is not in the set of quantum correlations.
Okay. Maybe we can talk about it later. But
yeah.
The Hilbert space is unbounded, right? It's just finite.
Yeah.
So that's not compact, is it?
The Hilbert space, I'm not fixing the dimension. It can can keep growing. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly, it's achieved on some finite dimensional Hilbert space, but I don't demand that there's some bound kind of there a priori, yeah. What can happen is there can be, in general, if I have a correlation, there can be lots of different models given on, different Hilbert spaces or direct sums or, all sorts of different things can happen. But what if we want to characterize quantum devices? We kind of want to try to get some grasp on maybe what this black box could be doing. So the question is kind of like, what can we hope to learn just by observing the correlations? What can we say about the models? And this is the basic question that self-testing tries to answer, what self-testing is kind of motivated for, is can we find correlations where this behavior is sort of unique and then we can say something about the system? So the definition of self-testing, this lengthy definition, but it's based on this idea of local dilation. So the equivalence between two models here is captured by this local notion of local dilation. And it says that if we have a quantum model S tilde, it's a local dilation of another model S if there are these other auxiliary Hilbert spaces and a vector state aux on these spaces, as well as local isometries that kind of dilate the space of this model to the space of this model tensored with some auxiliary space. Okay, so here's the maybe more typical thing. If you've seen self-testing before, you see that the local isometries take this strategy on this state to this first strategy. We call this one as we'll see in a second, the ideal model. And we call these ones employed models. So the point is that the employed model kind of local dilates to the ideal model along with some junk state. So this is kind of outside, and the point here is that if you think about this, they're going to give the same correlation. Because if I look at the aux here and on the other side too, I take the inner product, they're both unit vectors, they'll just cancel away. And so, what I'll see is kind of the same correlation, right? S and S tilde are the same, are different models for the same correlation. So we use this kind of shorthand notation like this, less than or equals to S tilde, to mean that S is a local dilation of S. We can kind of think of it, as sort of, that this one is being kind of like dilated out to this other one. And so the kind of ideal one you can think of sitting at like one chain of this, or one end of this kind of preorder. and everything kind of is a local dilation of this ideal one. So yeah, this is prior, it's transitive, reflexive, but not anti-symmetric. And this definition of self-testing kind of seemed like pretty unwieldy, but the point is, right, that these local isometries are necessary to account for the fact that if you have a correlation and you kind of add in an ancilla system, you like just add a state on some Hilbert space, it won't change the correlation because it will just kind of cancel out in the mathematics. And so you need some sort of, you need something to account for this because if you want to, you need to allow for this kind of equivalence in any sort of definition of self-testing because you can't ever hope to kind of get rid of it. And so the kind of standard definition of self-testing, which is based on this idea of local dilation, is that so a correlation is a self-test for the class of POVM quantum models if there's an ideal quantum model such that for any other model, any other employed model, it's a local dilation of this ideal model.
So what do you mean by not anti-symmetric? Do you mean not symmetric?
Yeah, it's not. So anti-symmetric just means that if it's in a binary relation, if A relates B and B relates A, then A is equal to B. They're equivalent. So that's what, yeah, so that's what anti-symmetric means, I think. And so not anti-symmetric means that that doesn't hold. I think if it did hold, then this would be like a, it'd be like a, some sort of other order, like a quasi order or something, if it was anti-symmetric. Yeah, it's just some you know, jargon for binary relations. Yeah, maybe I got it wrong too. I'm not sure, but it's not so super important here.
Is there an example to see why you need this dilation? It's fine.
I think it's just like you can't control the other, you know, system. So, you don't want, like, if you have a definition of self-testing, yeah, maybe I'll come back to it. So, like I've kind of shown, this definition is maybe somewhat ad hoc. Like it's clear in some sort of that we want some sort of equivalence between models, but like why exactly this sort of definition with local isometries? I mean, I kind of said that there was this. Well, it comes back to your question, I guess. You need to account for, you know, the fact that there are correlations, and if we tensor with these auxiliary systems, we, you know, don't want that to change the correlation. But maybe there's a question of why exactly these ones. So this traditional definition based on local dilation came out of a work almost 20 years ago of Mayers and Yao, and their idea was kind of around this device independence cryptography, where they were kind of trying to come up with a way of characterizing the behavior of a black box quantum device, but since then there have been many variations on this local dilation definition. With recently consensus coming around the definition that we've presented, although oftentimes there are many other assumptions made, lots of such as you might see a definition where they allow mixed states in the models, or they may insist that the projections or the measurements are all projective, and so on, other kind of variations, or there might be some state independence. In the definition of the local isometries, it might just not be according to the state, but just in general. So you know, we're still and trying to kind of get to grasp with what you know, the right definition should be in some sense. And this isn't, you know, our criticism entirely. Other people have pointed this out, that Krishana Menchinska and Hugh Larson have recently pointed out that this definition of self-testing that came from Myers and the standard definition lacks sort of an operational or physical interpretation. And so they have a recent work where they kind of, it's called an operational or something about operational environment self-testing, in which they try to address this issue and make it sort of discuss the definition of self-testing in an operational context. That's not all bad, you know, despite maybe some complaints about self-testing and the definition, it's been very successful. So there's been a lot of work done, you know, I said in the last 20 years, so there are lots of results. And it's a very important concept in quantum information. In particular, it's a key component of the recent MIPSTAR equals RE proof. And so there's interest in kind of really getting to the core mathematical concepts of what self-testing is, and as well as a more physical and operational one.
Can I ask a question about your previous slide?
Yeah.
So this ideal model, this is sort of like a maximal dilation, not like a minimal model?
That's kind of the minimal one, the ideal one.
Because here, like this relation you've written above there, like S, you know, S greater than equal to S tilde means that S tilde is a local dilation. So here you're looking for some ideal dilation that's a dilation for any model. Somehow the logic is the reverse of what I thought it would be.
Oh, yeah. I just get it did I get it backwards?
S should be S tilde somewhere.
Tilde's local dilation.
Is a dilation greater than or less than?
I think I might have just got it backwards.
I think you are right. Like local dilation is S to S tilde, but it's actually dilation to X tilde plus some ancillary systems.
Yeah.
S tilde plus ancillary system is bigger, but S tilde itself may.
Yeah, so S tilde is the minimal, but the point is that when you have a local dilation, it's like S tilde, right, tensored with some kind of auxiliary thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's like this S, the ideal one is like living inside the dilation. But it is kind of like minimal. It's sort of like saying like this is in here somewhere, but we don't really know where.
Like
you have to like blow it up to kind of see it.
Piece of a dilation somehow. Or something.
Yeah.
I see. Okay. Thank you.
Looks like there's a question.
Yeah, there's a
question. Yes. So can you elaborate why the original definition is ad hoc? I thought that actually kind of capture what the local parties may do instead of what you think they may do.
Yeah. I don't want to like. I'm not like bashing the definition, and I mean it's clear in the context of quantum information science. I think it does certainly capture something, but I think the point is that there's like a lack of like operational interpretation of it, and there's like a lack of clear like mathematical interpretation. I mean, I think it's easy for us in quantum information science to look at it and think of it as being something that's, you know, maybe familiar because we work a lot maybe with these kind of dilations and concepts, but you know. What we're trying to do in this project is cast it in a mathematical way that's maybe more succinct and more it relates to other concepts that have been studied better. I think that's the kind of ad hocness in it, is to say that it's ad hoc in reference to other things, not so much maybe on its own.
It's convenient. You can prove things about it.
Sure, yeah, it's convenient this way, but there's a limitation to that too, because you know, when you go to a mathematician and you know you'd like to tell them what a self-test is. You explain kind of in this language that we're used to in quantum information science, they might have no, you know, not understand or something like that. So the, you know, what we're trying to do here is come up with a definition that's more kind of succinct mathematically. So I mentioned there are kind of different, that we're going to restrict to project to quantum models, but some of the other definitions that appear use projective quantum models. And just to say, a projective quantum model or a PVM model is one where all the operators are in addition to being POVMs, they're projections, so they form a PVM. And these are, so this, I'm going to overview a few important subclasses of quantum models here. So this is a point that maybe gets kind of overlooked with the concept of self-testing. Is you might say, why are you considering only POVM quantum models when, you know, we have this Nyman dilation? If you have any quantum correlation, then there is a projective model just by taking the Nyman dilation. There's a notion of a full rank model too. So, but the point is that if you are a self-test, or I should say, if you have a self-test, if you dilate to this this projective model using a Nyman dilation, the Nyman dilation isn't local in the same way that the isometries are in the self-testing definition, and so there's like an incompatibility when you try to do this in the context of self-testing. So it is true that every quantum correlation has a projective model. And so we also say that a quantum model is full rank if the dimensions of the two spaces are equal and the rank of the state on that system is you know, the same as the dimension. And every quantum model, so every POVM model, has a full rank. It has a full rank model by just projecting onto the support of the state. The problem is that if you have a projective one and you project down to the state, the projective model doesn't stay. Like if you restrict PVMs down, they don't stay PVMs. They don't stay projections. But if you restrict POVMs, then they stay POVMs. So you can always do this trick for POVM models where you can restrict to the support and still get a POVM model. But for PVM models, you kind of can't do that. I'll talk about that more in a minute.
You're not assuming the projections commute?
No, they live on different, they do commute because they live on different Hilbert spaces. So you might imagine that they're like MAX tensor identity and identity tensor now would be. Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about C-star algebras for a minute. So for those who are unfamiliar, C-star algebra is a Banach algebra or a Banach star algebra. So it's equipped with this antilinear involution where this special C identity, C star identity hold. And C-star algebras are synonymous with quantum mechanics. They come up all the time as algebras of bounded observables. So the canonical C-star algebra is a set of bounded operators on a Hilbert space. A state, or an abstract state, to make it clear I'm not talking about a quantum state or a vector state, is a linear functional on a C-star algebra that has two properties. It's positive, so it means any positive element in the C-star algebra, the state is positive, it's a real number greater than zero, and it's normalized. So on the unit in the algebra, it's equal to one. And an important fact about states and C-star algebras is the so-called Gelfand-Nyman-Siegel construction, or GNS construction. And it says that given a state, you can construct a representation where you get a representation, a Hilbert space, and this vector state Xc called the cyclic vector, where the abstract state has a concrete representation, meaning that this state can be represented as an inner product on a concrete Hilbert space with a representation, and they're sort of compatible. So this GNS construction kind of goes actually, it's a bridge between these two kind of concrete and abstract C-star algebra. So here, this is like an abstract C-star algebra, but here, you know, it's kind of given this concrete representation as a representation and this special cyclic vector. And the GNS construction goes the other way. If you have a representation with a cyclic vector, then you get a positive linear functional on the abstract C-star algebra. And in particular, this representation will be, if you have these such representations, it will be unitarily equivalent to the GNS representation of the state. And why I'm bringing up C-star algebra is that we can talk about models in the context of C-star algebras by defining the abstract POVM algebra to be the universal C-star algebra generated by positive contractions subject to the relations that they sum to the identity.
So what was the cyclic vector in the previous slide?
Yes. So the cyclic vector is it's this kind of unique vector that comes along with any GNS representation. And the point is that it's sort of like dense in the Hilbert space. So if you like look at the action of this representation on this thing. So basically, like if you like the span of this for all A will be the dense of the whole Hilbert space. And the point of this abstract POVM algebra is that representations of this algebra are in, you know, kind of uniquely correspond to POVMs on that Hilbert space. And this might not seem like it's, you know, not a crazy new way of thinking about things, but it kind of allows us to abstract POVMs in this way. But in the context of self-testing, we want to look at the bipartite algebra. So if we let MXA be kind of these generators for the algebraic tensor product of two POVM algebras, so I have one for kind of Alice and one for Bob here. If I take the algebraic tensor product of two C-star algebras, it's not necessarily going to be a C-star algebra. I have to take its kind of completion, and I have to put a norm on it to make it a C-star algebra. I have to put a special norm on it. So what we get here is, there's a couple ways to do this, but the way that we do it here is we use the min construction. So it's just a way to construct a C-star algebra out of the tensor product. Because there's no, the norm here isn't, there's no obvious way to inherit the norm from both of these onto here. Well, there is, but the obvious way to do it is to give you this one, basically. So that's just a technical detail. But it's sort of important to know that there are more than one way to do this. So the point of this is that if you have a quantum model, then the quantum model corresponds to a representation of this C-star algebra. And so we can actually think about models as representations on this tensor product along with the state. And moreover, if I have an abstract state, you know, that is given by the representation according to this model, then it gives me back the correlation when I look at it acting on the kind of generators of this algebra. So we call this state f of s to be the abstract state defined by the model s. So here we see that kind of we start to see a connection between correlations, models, and the representation theory of C-star algebras and states in particular. You say that a state is finite dimensional if the Hilbert space in its GNS or if the Hilbert space, yeah, in its GNS is finite dimensional. And here, because I'm looking at quantum models, HA and HB are finite dimensional. So I'm going to call this, I call this state a finite dimensional state. So that will be true for any correlation in CQ. On the other hand, if I have a finite dimensional state, then so I have to do a bit of tweaking before I can get a model. Because basically, even if I have a state on here and I take its GNS representation, it won't be in the form of a tensor product representation. I have to do this, I have to use this double commutant construction where I kind of build up the Hilbert space and then I break it into two parts and then I reconstruct the representations. But this is all fine and good. I can do this whenever my state is finite dimensional. When the state is not finite dimensional, meaning that if I take a state and its GNS doesn't give me a finite dimensional Hilbert space, it gives me an infinite dimensional one because there are states in here that do that, then I can't do this double commutant construction. And this will be something that will come back maybe later if we have kind of time to talk about it. But in the case of correlations and quantum models on finite dimensional Hilbert spaces, this is all good. You can do this. You can get a model where that state is equivalent to the one given by, induced by that model. So yeah, just kind of summarizing, the point is that if I have a correlation in CQ, that's if and only if there's a finite dimensional state on this C star algebra such that the state is exactly that correlation. Like I said, there was this fact about states, that don't give me finite dimensional ones. And so we can actually look at the whole, this sort of does hold for the states, meaning that, correlations on the closure of CQ still correspond to states, but these states might not be ones where there are finite dimensional tensor products. So I've talked about how quantum POVM models are represented by states. I want to now tell you about how PVM models are represented by states. And we have this fact that if I can define the PVM C star algebra to just be the quotient of the POVM algebra, where I demand that my generators, so I quotient out by this other relation where I say that my generators need to be, as well as being self-adjoint, that they're projections. And this gives me a quotient map between this C star algebra and this C star algebra. And so if I have a state on here, actually, then if I compose it with the, F is a state. Yeah. So I can actually, if I have a state on the POVM, I can take it, I can use this quotient map to actually give me states on the POVM algebra. And I can also pull back states from the PVM algebra to the POVM algebra. And what this allows me to do is to think about the states on the PVM algebra, so ones that give me projective models, as subsets of states on the POVM algebra. So just like we can think about projective models being, some sort of subset of the of PVM quantum models being a subset of POVM quantum models, we can make the same analogy with states. So yeah, we have a precise definition is that they're projective if they belong to the image of this map. Now there could be states in here that are projective that are not finite dimensional. They'll still be in here, but they won't give us those finite dimensional quantum models. So summarizing quickly here, we have that abstract states on this algebra is finite dimensional if and only if it's equal to the state induced by some quantum model. And if we have a quantum model for a correlation, then the state is going to give us exactly that correlation. And this is our motivation for our new definition of self-testing, is that rather than talking about all these kind of local dilations, we're just going to say that look at a subset of states on this POVM algebra. So maybe we're going to look at the subset of states that give you full rank quantum models or projective quantum models. Both of these are subsets of states here. Then a correlation is a self-test, or is an abstract state self-test. Sorry, it's an abstract state self-test if there's a unique abstract state giving this correlation. So now, rather than talking about uniqueness of the model in this context of local dilations, I'm just saying uniqueness in a representation theoretic way of the C-star algebra. So it's the unique state on this algebra that gives me this correlation. And so the natural thing to wonder is like, well, is this equivalent to the typical notion of self-testing? And in our work, we're able to show that if the correlation is an extreme point of the set, so remember this set was convex, a convex set, so we actually need this extremality assumption, but with this extremality assumption then that a correlation is a self-test, the class of quantum models, so this is in the local dilation sense, if and only if it's an abstract state self-test for the finite dimensional states. So we actually get an equivalence here between the two for the set of quantum correlations.
Can I go back to one more, the last slide?
Yeah.
So you said P is a self-test for S.
Yeah.
Previously said S is a self-test for P. Do you mean it is a P or is it an S?
It's a P.
It is P, okay.
Yeah, so this is like a set of, we've identified the subset of states with subsets of models. So like S here will be the states that give us finite dimensional quantum models. So it's like, correlation is always a self-test is always a correlation.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're talking about a correlation. Yeah.
So just trying to follow along, at this point, this abstract definition,
mm-hmm.
Does it immediately capture all the stuff about local dilations, or is that what you're going to talk about now?
Yeah, that's what we're going to talk about now. So the punchline is that it does. If I have a self-test in the local dilation sense, I get one that this is equivalent to being a unique state.
So what is P being an extreme point here like?
It's an assumption that we need to go to move between the two, basically. It's not clear exactly. Like one thing that could be possible is that somehow all self-tests are extreme points. I don't think we have an example. I don't know of an example of a self-test in the local dilation sense, so that's the normal sense, that isn't an extreme point.
What if you had an extreme point of CQA that's not in CQ? Can you say something about that?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll get to that, come back to that. And we get the same thing holds for, if we have a, interestingly, so if P has a full rank projective model, then P is a self-test for projective quantum models, if and only if it's an abstract state self-test for projective finite dimensional states. We noted here, so in the projective case, we needed this extra kind of assumption. So we have this fact about P has a full rank projective model. So it turns out that if P is an abstract state for projective finite dimensional states, then it's a self-test for projective quantum models. So one direction works without this assumption. But if we start with but without this assumption, we're not sure whether being a self-test for projective models implies the unique state definition without this assumption. So essentially, we're not sure if every self-test amongst projective models has a full rank projective quantum model. We're not able to kind of show either way if this is true or not. But we just needed it for it's a limitation of our techniques to kind of go between the two. So some consequences of our results are that if we have a correlation and it's an extreme point in CQ, and it's a self-test for quantum models, then because of kind of Nymark dilation, we know that the unique state on the C-star algebra is actually projective. So we know that it lives in the subset of projective states. And we also know that P is a self-test for projective quantum models. And that kind of makes sense. If you're a self-test for quantum models, then you should be a self-test for projective models as well, because the projective models are just a subset of the quantum models. And furthermore, we know that any full rank quantum model is projective. And this is sort of not surprising with the kind of the full rank models, because we know that we can kind of project it down to we can always take the support project, restrict to the support projection of the quantum model and get a full rank one, and then we can kind of show that it's projective. But the kind of important open question here is that we don't know if there's a correlation, which is a self-test amongst projective quantum models, but not a self-test amongst POVM quantum models. So we know that being a self-test amongst projective models means you're a self-test amongst being a self-test amongst quantum models means you're one again amongst the projective ones. We don't know vice versa. Though the observations above tell us that if we want to have such an example, it can have a full rank projective model. And that's because if we have a full rank projective model, then they're actually going to be equivalent. Because we know that in the case of a quantum correlation, its unique state will be, if it's a self-test, it'll be the unique state, and it will be the unique projective state. And so if this one is also full rank projective, then it'll also have a unique state on the projective algebra. And you know, if it's unique and you pull it back to something, there's only one thing to pull it back to. So we know that this sort of, to find such an example, you know, we'd have to go beyond kind of the self-tests we know of. So like I just said, we don't know if being a self-test for the class of projective models implies being a self-test for the class of all POVM quantum models. Recently, Laura Menchinska and Jed Kaniewski have shown that there are correlations which do not have full rank projective models. So we see this as a step forward to maybe kind of finding a counterexample here. But like this is just a correlation, so you'd have to turn this into a self-test. Basically, if you could turn this into a self-test, then you could show that there are self-tests amongst projective models that are not self-tests amongst all quantum models. And this would mean that, you know, when you're looking at self-testing, you need to consider all POVM models. You can't just look at projective strategies or projective models, which is an assumption that's often made when doing self-testing. You know, you just need to look through the projective strategies, because the projective strategies are somehow, or projective models, because they're, you know, the ones that, for whatever reason, should be the important ones. Yeah, so I was kind of summarizing what I just said. So although we think that maybe, you know, there is a counterexample here, it turns out using our abstract state definition of self-testing that in many cases of correlations that are known in the literature, we can actually show that projective self-tests and POVM self-tests are actually equivalent. So this was our other kind of main result. So a large class of correlations that are studied are these so-called synchronous correlations. And in a synchronous correlation, the outputs in the Bell scenario, so the set of outcomes for Alice and Bob, are the same, and they're also the same inputs. They don't know which inputs and outputs, you know, that they're doing, because they can't communicate, but they're the same. And the synchronous condition says that, you know, they're the correlations where if you give them the same, it's kind of a consistency check. You know, you give them the same input, then they need to give you the same output. So, you know, we demand that, or they're the correlations where this is zero when A and B are not the same. So these arise in particular, the quantum correlations that arise, examples of quantum correlations here are correlations that are optimal that are optimal strategies for synchronous non-local games. Another large class of correlations are so-called binary correlations, and they're just ones where there's only two outputs. So the sets A and B are just of size 2. So this includes kind of all XOR games or binary output games. There's lots of examples of self-tests and correlations that we know of in this context. In particular, like linear system games over Z2, so the Merman-Perez Magic Square, Magic Pentagram, the correlations that arise in the optimal strategies for those games are these examples of binary correlations. So it turns out that if you're a binary correlation and a synchronous correlation, as well as being an extreme point, and I talked about how these arise in non-local games, and whenever you're the correlation that's optimal for a non-local game, you live on some, you're a maximization over quantum correlations. So you're going to live, you're going to be an extreme point of this set. So in the case of the examples I just mentioned, they will be extreme points. The point here is that being a self-test for quantum models is not only equivalent to being an abstract self-test for finite dimensional states, but you're also a self-test for projective quantum models, and you're an abstract state self-test for projective quantum models. So you can think of this as being a kind of square, and everything in the square is equivalent, basically, whereas in general, it's not. And what our result illustrates is that you're going to have to look beyond these sets if you're going to want to try to find a counterexample to the kind of problem I was mentioning earlier about whether a PVM self-test isn't a POVM one. So of course, many times there's many self-testing results with projective models, and the CHSH game is also an example. So these are all POVM self-tests as well. So I don't have much time, so I'm going to skip over tensor product correlations. This is just their correlations where you can allow the Hilbert spaces to be infinite dimensional. And we have some kind of partial results here. But I'd like to spend my last few minutes to talk about commuting operator models. So they're the other large class of quantum models. And in here, I have a correlation, but I have a single Hilbert space in the model. And so before I had two Hilbert spaces that were tensor product, now I just have one global Hilbert space. And I don't demand that my measurement operators act on kind of local factors. There's no tensor product structure here. So instead, I just demand that they commute. And here, so I'm a commuting or quantum commuting correlation if I have such a model. So and you can have projective models in this context. This commuting operator models are natural in the context of algebraic quantum field theories, where rather than tensor product structures, we have commutative structure on a one global Hilbert space. The set of quantum commuting correlations are the set of correlations with a commuting operator model. And unlike CQ, CQC is closed. And it's kind of the biggest set. It's convex. It contains the closure. For a long time, so Cyrilson's problem and the Kahn embedding problem are asking whether CQA, the closure of CQ and CQS, is actually equal to CQC. And so the recent MIPS R equals RE result establishes that there are correlations that are inside CQC that are not inside CQA. But another important fact here is that if you restrict to commuting models where you have a finite dimensional Hilbert space, So there's a single Hilbert space, but it's finite dimensional, then those are actually equivalent to CQ. So you have to be living in this infinite dimensional Hilbert space world to kind of see any differences between CQ and CQA, CQC. So one thing about commuting operator models is it's not apparent that the standard definition of self-testing according to local dilations has an analogous description. Because we don't have this tensor product structure anymore. So what's a local isometry? What's a local dilation? You know, it's not apparent how to come up with a definition. We tried for a while and couldn't come up with anything that really worked. I mean, I think it's still worth pursuing. You know, we're obviously not the final word on anything. But these correlations in CQC have a abstract state formulation on Cesar algebras, just like we showed before. And so this is a result of Fritz and the authors who proved the equivalence of the Kahn embedding problem to this Quest-Cielsen's problem. And basically it says that you are a quantum commuting correlation if you are a state on this algebra. And notice there's a subtle difference here. I have a max here instead of a min. And I mentioned that there is kind of more than one way to create a C-star algebra out of the tensor product of two C-star algebras. And this is kind of the other way, the maximal way. So just like we had to motivate our abstract state self-testing definition, we have this correspondence between models, correlations, and states on this C-star algebra. So our definition of self-testing here suggests a notion of self-testing for commuting operator models. And it's precisely that if S is a subset of states on this max tensor product, then we say that a correlation is an abstract state self-test for S, right? If there's a unique abstract state that achieves that correlation. So we say that a correlation is a commuting operator self-test if it's an abstract state self-test for the states on the max tensor product of these two algebras. So rather than the min now, we have this other object at the max. And like we saw for when we looked at projective models and non-projective models, we had this surjective homomorphism between the two algebras. And we can kind of, in the same way we kind of pulled back projective states and looked at them on the POVM algebra, we can pull back the min states and we can look at them on the max algebra. So we can think about states on min as a subset of the states on max. So we just kind of enlarge the set of states that we can look at. And the first kind of, I'll quickly go over, is there something like analogous to quantum models? Analogous to local dilation. Because local dilation is trying to capture something about equivalence that should be allowed in the context of quantum mechanics and correlations, such as like, you know, tensoring with another register and such. So we want to capture some of those notions in our definition. So we have a definition of equivalence between models, of unitary equivalence between models, and this notion of non-degeneracy. So a non-degenerate quantum model is one where there's no projection that commutes with this, that's in the support of the, or that commutes with the measurement operators. And I'm going to quickly go over this. So like before, with our definition of abstract state self-testing, any two commuting operator models, we have that they're equivalent, their states, their abstract states are equivalent whenever they're equivalent, so whenever they're unitary equivalent, or one is a submodel of the other. And we have this connection between commuting operator models and GNS representations of the abstract states on this algebra. Um, so this commuting operator definition of subsets does have these kind of similar properties to the ones we saw. So this is sort of like what we can think of is a commuting operator definition, commuting operator self-test form of sort of like what we saw from the local dilations, but it's not quite exactly the same. So this is like a different formulation of our definition. And it shows that this definition does kind of tolerate some sort of equivalence and restriction to submodels that the local dilation definition of self-testing had. But important, what I think remains to do is still to make this connection clear. We don't have a result that says that like the commuting operator self-test is equivalent to a form that we saw in the local dilation language. And we'd like to maybe find some sort of thing that's analogous. So maybe there's some sort of connection to generalizing this kind of theorem in that direction. Because of the fact that the subsets of states on that the min states are a subset of the ones in the max, and that they're equal whenever we have finite dimensional states, it means that we have a definition of self-testing for the non-finite dimensional states on this algebra, which you asked for. So if you're in CQA, but you don't give a finite one, what sort of equivalences can you hope to have? Because you won't have this local dilation, because even with states in here, their GNS representations might not factor into the tensor product of even infinite dimensional Hilbert spaces. The double commutant theorem doesn't have this sort of, doesn't work even in this context. So it does give us some local equivalence, and this is relevant to an example of a self-testing where Manchinska and Schmidt recently gave an example of an analytical game, which is where they combined a finite dimensional self-test with a game that has a perfect QA strategy but no perfect Q strategy. And in our language, this gives a analytical game that's a finite dimensional abstract state self-test, but not a self-test for all states on this kind of this algebra. I'm going to go through this quickly and just, I'm going to give you, so we're running pretty low on time. So I'm going to quickly end with the fact that there, you know, we created this definition of self-testing for commuting operator models. Are there in fact commuting operator self-tests? So it turns out that there are actually commuting operator self-tests, and it goes way back to the 80s before the definition of self-testing was even made, when Cyrilson was working on this stuff. And so he actually gave a large family of commuting operator self-tests by looking at this set, which he called Core XY. And it's the set of correlation matrices. And if you have basically if you have a correlation in this set, then you can define this matrix. So you get this map to this set of elements of Core XY. Because if you have a quantum model, then these operators have norm less than one, so they fit into this. When you look at it on psi, you get these vectors ux. So ux here would just be m0x on this, and vy would just be this part here. We call these XOR correlations, so the elements here, the c's. So basically what we have is, if we let this CQ unbiased be this set of what we call the unbiased correlations, so this is a technical statement about them being unbiased. Cyrilson showed that this map, where you take a correlation and you look at these XOR correlations, it restricts to an isomorphism when you look at the set of unbiased quantum correlations. So amongst these unbiased quantum correlations, Cyrilson has this theorem that says that if P is an extreme point in this set of CQ unbiased, and the associated XOR correlation is even rank, so this even rank means like literally the rank of this matrix, which we'll see in a minute, then P is a commuting operator self-test. So phrase Cyrilson result, but this is coming right out of his paper from the 80s. So he actually gave families of self-tests, of commuting operator self-tests way back in the day. So don't have time for the proof, but I'll kind of illustrate this with an example. Oops. That the well-known example, the well-known CHSH correlation is a computing operator self-test. So if I look at the optimal correlation for the CHSH game, it's an extreme point in the set of CQ unbiased. And it has this associated correlation matrix. This associated correlation matrix is rank 2. And by a theorem of Cyrilson, it means that this is a commuting operator self-test. So we, in fact, don't have a vacuous definition of commuting operator self-test. One of the first interesting quantum correlations is actually in this example. And we have, in the paper, we actually give a number of other examples. Thank you, that's it.
Any other questions? Any questions? Yeah, okay.
Thanks. So two quick questions. Can your formalism here extend to more than two parties, and also in the approximate setting in which the winning condition is not exact?
Yeah, those are great questions, Debbie. We don't know. We haven't looked at it at extending this to multiple parties at all. Yeah, I haven't really thought about self-testing in the context of multi-parties at all, really, but certainly it's interesting. The question about approximate is a really interesting one. So that you're talking about the notion of robust self-testing. And we specifically thought that there was enough here for us to just focus on self-testing in the non-robust framework. But of course, yeah, it's obvious, an obvious avenue to understand robust self-testing in the framework of abstract states. And I think that that's a really interesting way of moving on from this project, is to looking at whether we can now take the robust definition of self-testing just for quantum correlations, and we can relate robust self-testing to maybe some sort of robust self-testing in the sense that states are close. So maybe there's some metric we can put on the state space of these finite dimensional states, and we can come up with some sort of analogous sort of thing that, you're close to a state, you're epsilon close to a finite dimensional state that gives you that correlation. It's certainly a really interesting jumping off point. But no, we don't have any results in that way yet.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah, I have a general question. Why is Snowman interesting?
Why it's interesting?
Why it's useful?
Why it's useful? That's a good point. So imagine that you have a quantum device, and you want to ensure that the device is actually behaving it's actually doing something quantum. So what you can do is you set up the device to play the CHSH game. So we know that because if it plays the CHSH game and we see the correlations, we know that there is only one model up to local dilations, that there's only one measurement apparatus, there's only one state that the system is actually using. And it must be the maximally a certain maximally entangled one. If the correlations we saw from some device wasn't a self-test, then we don't know what the quantum device is using. We don't know, we can believe that we have control over the system, but perhaps it's doing something that we don't want it to do. Like, we could think of it as an adversary, maybe it's we want it to use the entangled strategy of some dimension, but it maybe uses some other one. If we see the correlations that are, if it's a self-test though, we see it, we know that that's not possible. It has to be doing this quantum thing. I guess this is a good point, because I think it illustrates why the up to local dilation is important, because we don't care if it's doing something else, like maybe there's some noisy system that's there, as long as it's doing the thing we want on some subsystem, then we don't care about it. And that's why self-testing has this notion of local dilation, because we don't care that it's doing something maybe noisy on other some larger system that's attached to the quantum device or something. At least it's doing what we want it to do on some subsystem. So I think that hopefully maybe illustrates your question before about, yeah, I just was blanking earlier about why it's kind of relevant. So the point is, so we can independently verify what a quantum device is doing using self-tests. So yeah, that's the point. If it's a self-test and we're seeing those self-testing correlations, then we know that up to this notion of local dilation or unique state, that's the representation. It's using those measurement operators and that state to get that correlation. It can't be like, you can imagine some correlation that in the worst case, maybe it's there's lots of things. There could be quantum correlation, there could be classical correlations that are being achieved by some quantum system, right? You can have correlations that have classical models and quantum models, or all different types of, quantum models and that kind of thing. So, yeah.
But in this case, does your framework allow you to distinguish classical from quantum models? That wasn't clear. Like, how does that come about in this case?
Yeah, I didn't talk about that so much, but yeah, that's kind of goes back to, yeah, that's sort of like, not so much testing quantum models, but testing quantum, like paradigms of models, like frameworks entirely. Yeah, so.
So that's like a more refined version of these self-tests? Or?
Yeah, I guess you can think of like a Bell test as like, well. Yeah, there you're just kind of trying to find something that's in the set of quantum correlations that's not in this set of local. I should have said that, the set of classical correlations, right, are this, they're a convex closed set inside the set of quantum correlations. Yeah, I don't know if there's a way to think about the connection there. Obviously, there's issues of like self-testing, like in a realistic sense, quantum commuting correlations and correlations that arise on the min tensor product of that C-star algebra, because then we're asking questions about like what is the nature of physics, like which model is the world actually modeled by, and we can't answer those questions, but we can write down mathematical statements about what we could expect from each one of those frameworks.
Cool. Thanks.
Any other questions? Okay, I'll have to be your guest.